9:19, the One Young World Summit opened in Dublin the other day, and I have to say it was very impressive. I was there myself, and there'll be 1,300 attendees representing 190 countries. Think about that at the event, which takes place in Dublin's Convention Centre in the coming days. The three-day event, it's been described by the co-founder David Jones as a platform to give brilliant young people a catalyst to drive change in the world. And our attention was drawn to and by one person speaking at the conference, and her name is Yeonmi Park, a lady who is from North Korea, a place that intrigues people for all the dark and wrong reasons, really. She fled the country after seeing her friends and family treated in ways that were really not for the human eye and the mind. And Yeonmi is here to tell us her story. Good morning, Yeonmi, and thank you for coming to see us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Can you tell us a little bit about your early childhood? You were born, of course, in 1993, which makes you 21. Tell us about your early childhood.
Oh, my only childhood was very dark, usually. Yeah, seeing the dead bodies every day, and people were dying for food, and constantly people disappears.
Yeah.
And I mean, when I was like 4 years old, I was warned by my mother, not even whisper, and birds and mice could hear me, and that's how much oppressed, and that way she could protect me. So when I was really little, I learned how not to express my feelings.
Yeah.
And my, you know, expression, or just everything was controlled by the regime, and I had to follow everything. They are telling me what to wear, what to sing, what to say, what to think even.
Right.
So, yeah.
Was it the time of the famine at that stage, which was raging in North Korea?
That was, the Great Famine was 1995 to 1998,
yeah.
But even though after that, people were constantly dying for food. So just seeing that my friends are dying for food was really normal thing for me.
Okay, because we know about famine in Ireland. We had one here in the 1840s.
Oh.
But you're talking about the 1990s.
Yeah, but now it's still going on right now.
The famine is
right
still
now,
going on.
Yeah.
Okay, tell us about your mother and father. What were they doing for a living, and what were they...
Right now.
No, at the time.
Okay.
When you were little.
My father, Casey, he was in the Workers' Party member. So he was kind of elite compared to other people.
Yeah.
And my mother even graduated from university.
Okay, so you were kind of educated family and
yes.
Part of the system.
Yes, so that's why he worked in Pyongyang for a while. And I had that privilege to live in the capital of North Korea, Pyongyang, for a while.
Yeah.
But when I was 9 years old, my whole world just came crashing down.
And what happened when you were nine?
My father got arrested and he got sentenced 17 years for selling metal to China.
Okay, and that was illegal at the time, was it?
Yeah, it's still legal.
Yeah.
So
17 years, was it hard labor or just a regular prison? Or where was
hard
he?
Labor.
Hard labor.
Absolutely,
and what does hard labor mean in North Korea? What does that...
It's just they treat them like maliciously, and they cannot even look at the police's face because they are not human anymore. So they cannot look at the normal people's face. They have to turn them head down, and they are just dying there, and just they cannot eat any food there. So most of them, they cannot survive longer than 1 year or 2 years.
And are they breaking rocks and working in quarries? Is it menial labor?
Yeah. Just they are for everything. Just do everything. And my father, Casey, he lived there for 3 years. And then he got the colon cancer from there, from that torture. And we bribed a lot, so he got out. Get treatment after 3 years, and after get that treatment, he had to go back to prison again.
Okay, you were 9 years old when you saw your best friend's mother had to be part of a horrible scene. Can you tell us about that?
Oh yeah, I mean, but usually just seeing the like public execution was a big like festival kind of for us. We are doing that in a big stadium. And they are saying we are killing our betrayers, our enemies. So we should cheer for that. And so I saw the lots of like the execution, even when I was 2, 4, 5. And I just didn't have that much feeling because I didn't know that people. And I thought I just justified we are killing the like bad yeah. people right now.
So you all went to a stadium for like a family day out and cheered as they executed the mm-hmm. people who were considered against the regime.
Yes.
And your opinion changed about that because your friend's mother was one of them one day.
Yeah, because I knew her personally and she was a really nice person, and they are saying she was trying to destroy our socialist paradise. And what she did was just watching a Hollywood movie, and that's it.
She watched a Hollywood movie?
Yeah, one movie, and that's James Bond, and that's why she got killed. So I just couldn't believe this. I know this person didn't try to destroy our country, and they are saying she tried to destroy our country.
So it's a paranoid state, and it is like something out of, you know, Orwell, as we know. Mm-hmm. And it is terrifying to hear mm-hmm. that a woman who watched a James Bond film and all that, and then she gets shot for that crime. Mm-hmm. And you are, at this point, you're very young, mm-hmm. but you're part of the system. How did you become aware that that wasn't normal? Because you're so conditioned mm-hmm. by society. So mm-hmm. how did you think there's got to be, this isn't right?
I saw the movie Titanic illegally.
You saw the movie?
Yeah, Titanic, the Titanic.
Yeah, Titanic, yeah, sure.
And just, that was not just made me so love something. I just couldn't, I was shocked because I just couldn't believe how people are making a movie for love story. It's such a shameful story for us. And there's no books, no songs, no press about love story in North Korea. Everything was just propaganda, you know, to brainwash us about the Kim dictators.
So what was the impact of watching Titanic as a young girl?
First time, is it the actress died or something? Is it you know, directors died? Why they are making this movie for this? And later I just realized that, just that gave me actually a taste of freedom because it was a human story about love and beauty, humanity. So that just changed my thinking and, you know, changed the way I saw the regime and their propaganda.
Isn't it extraordinary, the impact of that film, which you should not have been watching?
Yeah.
You know, you could have been arrested for that.
Yeah, it was just really risky, but it was worthy to watch
of course.
It and how other people are living and how people can value something for themselves, not the only regime.
So within all of these things you saw, your family realized it was time to get out. Mm-hmm. How did you manage to get out of North Korea? Because it is one big cage, one big prison.
Yeah, it's a whole prison country.
Yes.
But my sister actually left North Korea earlier than us.
Okay.
And we were really starving that time. And she left early. Okay. And my mother and I had to follow her. We were trying to looking for her too. We went to China. And my father later joined with us, but we just crossed the three mountains and climbed the three mountains.
So you went through the mountains to get over into China.
And then we crossed a frozen river.
And how old were you at that point?
I was 13.
Okay. When you got to China, you met local officials.
Yeah.
And what did they do?
That was a Chinese broker, and he was saying, I wanted to have a sex with her. But that was me, and I was 13 years old. And I didn't even know the words were sex. And my mom was terrifying, and she was saying, it's not going to happen. You know what? She's just 13 years old. And he said, what does it matter? 11 years old or 12 years old are all doing it. And my mom said, if you are killing me, I'm not going to let you to do that. And he said, then you have to sleep with me. And my mom said no, and he said, then I'm going to call police now, and you guys are going back to North Korea and being killed. So, he raped my mother in front of my eyes, and that's what happened. But later, after that, my father joined with us. So he brought into China, because he had a connection before he did a business with China. So,
That's a horrific thing to have to, let alone see and then talk about. But I think this is part of the reason you're here in Ireland today, is to say, look, to open the eyes to me and to people listening to what your country is going through. Is that right? Is that why you're talking about all this?
Yeah, it's really heartbreaking. People are saying, that is not happening. They are just there. That's not true. But this is happening, and you are still ignoring for 7 decades.
Seven decades. Okay, you got into China. You ended up in the deep in the Gobi Desert. Is that right?
Yes.
And again, you're surrounded by guards.
Yeah.
Because everywhere you went, you met trouble. How did you get out of that corner?
So before, during we were in China, my father got colon cancer and he passed away.
I'm sorry, okay.
Yeah, and I had to bury him at 3 a.m. in secret. And I was 14 years old and there was nobody I could call. And nobody was looking for him. Even I buried him secret, nobody knows it. And I realized that I don't want to live like this. And like breathing was painful too.
Of course.
And I just wanted to live like as humans. And I wanted to risk my life again. And my mom and I decided to escape to Mongolia. And that way we could go to South Korea. So we just walked across the Gobi Desert following a compass, actually. And it was minus 40 degrees.
Good Lord.
And we escaped the 16 wire fences.
Yeah.
And we got into Mongolia. But we brought one hand was knives to kill ourselves if we were going to be sent back to North Korea.
Yeah.
And one is compass to direction. And we met the Mongolian soldiers and they said, we are going to send you back to China and repatriation. And we were literally going to kill ourselves there. And they took that really serious. First time they just thought we were just, you know, kidding, but he knew that we were really going to kill ourselves.
You would rather kill yourselves right there with those blades than go back into North Korea.
But anyway, I'm going to be killed there.
Exactly.
So it doesn't matter. Anyway, I'm going to die. So.
What are you doing now? You got into South Korea. I need to jump ahead because you have to get the hell out of here now and go to the summit, which is so important. Mm-hmm. What are you doing now with your life? You're 21 years old now. You're very very little to look at, but you're very enormous in terms of bravery and strength. And tell me a little bit about what you're doing. You're settled in South Korea now?
Yeah, I'm junior at college and I'm majoring in criminal justice.
Good.
But nowadays I'm trying to raise this awareness in globally because North Korean people, they deserve more than this. They deserve more attention from us. But we are giving mass attention to Kim Jong-un. But he doesn't deserve it actually. He's a dictator. Mm. But we are giving that attention to Kim Jong-un, but we don't give that attention to the people.
Yes.
Millions of people are dying there. And it's really injustice for me. And I'm just trying to make it this, to show them the truth and how people are dying there. And how 300,000 refugees living in China. And the 70% women and girls are being sold for like $200.
Yeah.
And this is their life. They are being raped and then being sold, being killed. But nobody care about them. Nobody knows about them.
Well, and of course, all eyes on Kim Jong-un and where is he and is he alive? And apparently he is alive now and still back. There was talk about his sister taking over. But that's just the drama that we like internationally. But actually, the real story is the one you've told us this morning.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming to see us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You'll be addressing the One Young World Summit in Dublin tomorrow morning. Is that right?
Tomorrow morning.
What time will you be doing that at?
9 to 10.
Yeah, okay. They're very lucky to have you.
Thank you so much.
Because your story is exceptional, as are you. And I think that when you write the book and we watch the film, and it'll be an inspiration to a lot of people in due course. But for the meantime, thanks for coming to see us in studio this morning.
Thank you very much.
Yongni Park, live in studio.